told this evening we're going to be starting a new series. It'll last for several weeks. We'll be beginning in Psalm number 1. And what we're going to be looking at, the title of the series is Blessed is the Man. And there's a lot of different things in the scriptures where it has that phrase. And each of them are very valuable that we understand. And when we look at the idea of blessed, we kind of automatically think, well, that means to be happy. And it does mean that in a sense, but there's more to it than that. If you're to rate things, happy is good, but blessed is better. And blessed is kind of, happy can sometimes be short-term, but blessed is more long-term. And sometimes we recognize that, temporally speaking, being happy and being blessed may be in contradiction to each other. We recognize that we, in our flesh, we desire to be happy and comfortable. We desire everything to go our way. And we're happy when it does, and we're not happy when it doesn't. But we realize that our way is not always the best way. And there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And there are many things that might make us happy for a time, but then they can leave us only with emptiness. Anyone that's ever been addicted to any kind of substance, they could say that there is that euphoria that they have when they're on a high, when they have it, but it doesn't last. And that happiness isn't a blessing to them, that there's a curse that comes with it. It becomes bondage to them. And that's often with many things in this world. We look to them for happiness, but they don't. It's kind of like a mirage, a myth. It's something that doesn't come about the way we think it would, and it is very disappointing. We realize God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He doesn't just want to make us happy; He wants to bless us, and He doesn't just want to bless us a little bit; He wants to bless us a lot. And He doesn't just want to bless us just for the time being. He wants to bless us in the short term, the long term, and for eternity. And so we realize that there might be some difficult things that come to our lives, and we don't understand them. We may not be very happy in them, but in time we realize they're blessings in disguise. And God makes all things beautiful in His time. And so we see this. God wants us to be blessed. He wants to bless us as His people, as His children. And if that's the case, He's not going to hide from us the means by which we can be blessed. He isn't going to say, well, I want to bless you, but I'm going to make it so convoluted, so complicated that you'll never receive it. No, He makes it plain. And there's a lot of different places in the scripture where it says, blessed is the man. And He spells it out for us. And that's what we want to look at. And as we desire to be truly blessed, we want to examine these and apply these to our life. So we begin in Psalm number 1 and verse 1. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. That's great. Heavenly Father, we just thank You once again for Your word. We thank You for Your love to us. We thank You that You want to bless us both now and for eternity. We just pray You would open up this portion of the scriptures to our understanding. You would illuminate it to us, that we would have it plain in our minds, and so that we could apply it, and that we could enjoy the blessings that You want to give us, Lord, through Your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we see in this passage, as it begins, There is a negative and a positive to the idea of being blessed. And he begins with the negative first. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And we see in this verse a progression, that first a person is walking with those that are ungodly, walking in their counsel, and then they're standing, they've stopped walking. It's kind of the idea that they were going by and they got diverted, and now they're sitting, they're standing in the way of sinners, and now they're sitting in the seat of the scornful. With all these ones, the ungodly, the sinners, the scornful, they are not ones that we would consider to be a good influence on our lives. Ones that are not interested in honoring God, not interested in obeying God. And inevitably they will have an influence upon us as we make company with people of that mindset. And it is our desire that we would be an influence for good to them. We would be a testimony to them, but we're told in Proverbs 13 verse 20 that he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, the companion of fools shall be destroyed. And we recognize that though we want to mold other people, that we can be molded as well. And so we must be discerning. We must be wise in all of this. And sadly, our tendency sometimes is to try to get as close as we can to getting in trouble without actually getting in trouble. I know it's kind of the thing where, say, you have two kids fighting in the back seat, and you say, well, this is a line, don't cross it. And they see, well, how close they're touching the line, they're kind of poking their finger over the line, and the whole, in their mind, they've already crossed the line. And that's the thing, that's what our fleshly tendency is that it's trying to go as far as it can. And I remember with sadness, with some of the young people that worked with in the youth group when I was in BC, that there was some that they kind of liked to hang around with those that were ungodly and not serving the Lord, because in some ways it made them kind of feel good, because they thought, well, I'm maybe not where I should be in my walk with the Lord, but at least I'm not as bad as them. But the sad thing was with that, of course, the flesh is our own worst enemy, and as it says, that we walk in the way of, in the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, there begins to be an influence of us to unrighteousness. We start to slide away, we get further away than we expect, that kind of, if we follow their lead, that they're going to wax worse and worse, and we're going to wax worse and worse, and we'll still say, well, at least I'm not as bad as them, but eventually we get to a point where we're further away from where they actually started from when we first made contact with them. And when we do this, what happens is, as we see, that blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That we're blessed if we don't do these things. That if we pursue after this, if we allow this influence to be a part of our life, and to mold our life, we're going to miss out on the blessings of God, and we're no doubt going to face His chastening as well. And so we don't want that. That yes, we want to be an influence, but we have to be wise. We realize that we're as easily influenced to wrong as they might be influenced to right. And so we need the Holy Spirit empowering us to do that, and that comes as we draw close to the Lord. And so we see, as it says these things, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he doth meditate day and night. that the first verse speaks of evil influences that can be in our life, but the second speaks of the greatest and most positive influence that we can have in our life, that our delight, what brings us joy, what brings us pleasure, that it is the Word of God, the law of the Lord, that we follow its directions, and if we do that, we know that we'll be headed the right way. And we think of that, that it speaks in the Scripture that we are to follow those that are serving the Lord. Paul said, be followers of me, as I also am of Christ. But we recognize that, that none of us as men are perfect. Even the greatest leader can make mistakes. And throughout history, sometimes there's been different ones that will follow a certain teacher or a certain person so fully that even when they wander into false doctrine, that they continue in that. And so we realize that if we're grounded in the Word of God ourselves, if we study the Word, we search the Scriptures as the Bereans did, that we know that we'll stay on the right track, that men may fail us, but God's Word will never fail. And so we follow it completely. We get into the Word and it becomes our delight. It becomes our pleasure. And when you think of it, there are many pleasures in this world today that we seek after, seek to enjoy and appreciate, but so many of them are so temporal. We think in Hebrews that it speaks of the pleasures of sin, that they are for a season. But we want to realize of all the pleasurable things that we can have in this world, there is nothing more pleasurable than we will find as we get into the Word of God, as God communes to us through His Word, as we see things there that we've never seen before. You've probably had different times where you might read a passage and maybe a passage you haven't been able to make any sense of for a long time, that all of a sudden the Holy Spirit starts kind of helping you understand, start making sense of it. And things start coming out of that verse or out that passage that you never saw. That sometimes you can read three or four chapters and not seem to get anything out of it, but then you can read one verse and it'll carry you through for the whole day, the whole week. And we want to realize that there is such blessings in the Scripture, that it provides us joy, it provides us sustenance, it provides us so many more things that the psalmist spoke of how desiring the law of the Lord more than silver and gold. We see in Job chapter 23 and verse 12 that he testified, speaking of the commandment of the Lord's lips, he says, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. There's even spoken of in Deuteronomy, I believe it was, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so we want to have our delight in the law of the Lord. We realize that it teaches us about God, it teaches us about ourselves, it shows us the way of salvation, it shows us the way of victory. It is a lamp to our feet, it is a light to our path, it is the source of our strength, source of our peace, source of our power. That we see even in Revelation 12, that as it speaks of the time of the end, speaks of those who they had the accuser of the brethren, accused the saints before God day and night. It says, verse 11 of Revelation 12, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. That the word of the Lord is such a precious thing, that it has everything that we need. It is a love letter written by God to us. That it there's just such a treasure trove within that we can study it all our lives and still unearth new treasures that we'd never seen before. It's just so rich and full, and we want to delight in it, that we want to get in it and stay in it, that it becomes a delight to us. And it's that thought that we have there as well. It says, His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. And in this day and age, kind of our mindset of meditation is kind of, we think, well, someone that's sitting with their legs crossed and kind of holding their hands kind of out like this, and where they're sort of trying to empty their mind so that they can experience nirvana or whatever it might be. But we see with that, as we compare it with what the Scriptures teach, at best it's a corruption of what should be. And at a certain point, sometimes they're two very different things. That the thought of meditation from the Scriptures is not that we would empty our mind, but that we would fill it with God's Word. It's to reflect upon the truths of God, reflect upon who God is, that we put our focus on Him, that we fill our mind with the Scriptures, that we think it over. A similar kind of word that we could use that would kind of maybe help us make sense of it is to ruminate over it. It's the idea that a ruminant is any kind of animal that chews its cud, whether it's a deer, whether it's a cow, that they have several stomachs, that they might take something in, but then they regurgitate it and they chew it and they digest it. And you see a cow, I remember that from just being little, with seeing cows in the field of my uncles, that you'd see them there just chawing away on something, and that's what they're doing, that they're bringing it back up again. And that's what we want to do with the Word of God, as we hear it, as we read it, as we study it, as we memorize it, that we think over and over again, that sometimes, and I've done it myself, that we read a passage and we read a verse and we're like, that doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know what the Lord is trying to say there. And sometimes what we do is we just, well, I don't know what it means. I can't figure it out. I'll just kind of go on to something else. Whereas instead, if sometimes we take that verse and we pray and we ask, well, Lord, what does it mean? Please explain it to me. Please illuminate my understanding to it. And then as we do that, then all of a sudden, it might be later in the day, then the Lord just kind of maybe gives another verse that into our mind that gives a key to understanding it. And then it's like, oh, that's what it is. And it can be just such a blessing that we dwelt upon it for a time, that if we had just kind of passed over it, we would have missed out on what the Lord was trying to share with us. And that's kind of the thing, is that when we come across a difficult passage in the Scripture, it isn't something that we should just kind of ignore it or pass by it. It's kind of God saying, well, dig a little deeper. Try to find out a bit more about it. See what it says, because there's a lot in here that you're missing, and it's going to take time to dig it out. And so we want to do that. So we want to see that. We want to read the Scriptures. We want to ask ourselves, what does it mean? How should I apply this to my life personally? Because we realize that the Scriptures are written for our edification. That it's profitable unto us. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable unto us for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished on all good works. And so we need to take the time to allow the Holy Spirit to illuminate our understanding, and we have it running in our mind through the day, allow it to permeate our thinking, and we realize as we do this that it's going to have an effect on us, and it's going to have an influence upon us. That when the Word gets into our heart, Psalmist said, Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. As we get into it, that it becomes part of us, and it starts to change us, that we start to be conformed to what the Word says, that we don't just hear the Word, but we begin to do it. And as we do that, as we do what the Word of the Lord commands, we recognize the Lord will bless us now and in the future. And we see what it says in verse 3, that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And that's, it's kind of interesting because I've been planting trees the last few years, and of course the first year was just such a fight to keep them alive so they wouldn't wilter away. This year, doesn't seem, they're kind of right now, a lot of them are either planted by the rivers of water or under the rivers of water the way the snow is melting. But it's that sense that when they have a continuous supply, that it's going to be fruitful. And that's the thing is, sometimes, sadly, we kind of just take a little bit of the word, just a brief time during the morning or just a brief time during the week, and we kind of think, well, that's going to sustain us. And it might enable us to survive. And I know when I was watering the trees, that's a lot of the times what I was doing. I was just enabling them to survive. But they weren't going to thrive in the situation that they're in. And when we're studying the Word, when we're looking upon it and seeking the Lord, that we see that He's going to bring that fruitfulness to our life, that we're tapped in and abiding in the vine, that whatsoever we do, as it says here, will prosper. And that's kind of what we want. It's far better, because sometimes we experience that we try to do some, it seems everything we touch turns to dust. And we want whatsoever we do shall prosper. And we see that if we serve the Lord, if we follow His Word, then the Lord will cause it to prosper. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8 and 9 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." And that's what we want to do. We want to be following it so that the Lord can make our way prosperous. And we can think of this prosperousness in two aspects. One, if we follow the principles of Scripture in what we do, we know that we'll be blessed. We can apply the principles to our finances, to our relationships, to our conduct. And as we do that, things will go better for us. That God, there's a lot of wisdom in the Scriptures that will help us out. But secondly, we recognize that when we get the Word of God within us and we seek to know it and obey it, we're in a place where God can bless us. And we realize He wants to bless us. It isn't something where God's being chintzy with His blessings or anything like that. He wants to give us exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think, but we have to be in a position that He can give us those blessings. If we're disobeying Him, if we're disregarding His Word, if He blessed us in that condition, it would only cement us in continuing in that self-destructive behavior. And so often He'll take away blessings and His chastening hand will come upon us so that we could be directed back into a place that He could bless us. And of course, in this we recognize that the Scriptures are not speaking of some kind of prosperity gospel that sort of whenever, if we're serving the Lord, everything's going to be good and we're always going to have a lot of money. I remember kind of the sadness with that. I had a cousin and her husband that were kind of wrapped up into a group that taught that, and they just got married, and of course when you're just starting out there's always different challenges of finances and things, and some of the people within the church thought, well, if you're having trouble you must be in sin and we don't want to be anywhere close to you because we could have it rub up on us and you'd be a bad influence, and so you're kind of left to yourself. And that's just kind of the sadness of the whole thought. And we want to realize, in terms of God's blessings, that they're much greater than mere money. That there's so many things that God can bless us with that that don't cost anything but yet are priceless. And sometimes, actually, we find in our lives that we can follow after what we think are material blessings, only to find that we have a leanness of soul, that this materialism that we pursued wasn't as much of a blessing as we thought. It's actually a snare to us. And we want to realize that if truly as the Lord is blessing us, the hand of God will be with us. And we can think of Joseph, that he was serving God, he was doing what was right, but his brothers hated him, sold him into slavery. So you think, well, boy, that wasn't a blessing at all. But yet we see that while he was in the house of Potiphar, that the Lord prospered him, and he was exalted in the house of Potiphar. But then what happened is that Potiphar's wife falsely accused him. He was unjustly cast into prison. You think, well, boy, that wasn't a blessing either, that God's just turning his back on Joseph. But then you see it read that the Lord was with Joseph, and he became head over all the prisoners. And in the end, we find it was made clear it was all part of God's plan. He had to get him to Egypt, had to get him in jail so he could interpret the dream of the butler, so that then when the butler was restored, he would have the ear of Pharaoh, so that then he could emerge from prison and that God could use him to deliver his people. And so we want to realize that God's blessings are there, and he wants to give them to us. And as we seek his word, as we delight in the law of the Lord, meditate in it day and night, we don't allow evil influences to bring us down, but we instead allow the greatest influence of the scriptures to draw us closer to himself, that we will be blessed, that we will prosper. We see that it is a life that lasts, a life that endures, a life that bears much fruit. We see the contrast again, verse 4, that the ungodly are not sober like the chaff which the wind driveth away. And we think of that picture of just any time if you've ever tried to winnow any grain by hand, of how the wind comes and just blows the chaff away, but the grain falls down. And that's, it's kind of the thought that all of us are going to face the wind at some point, but as we cleave to the Word, we're not going to be swept away, that we're going to remain, and God's going to watch over us. And we know that as it says in verse 6, that the Lord knoweth the way of the righteousness, of the righteous, that He keeps track of us, He watches over us, He protects us, He's with us, He's blessing us by His presence, by providing for us all of our needs exceedingly abundantly. And so we see from this, as it says, as we're trying to study, blessed is the man, we see first of all, blessed is the man that his delight is in the law of the Lord, that is in his law he doth meditate day and night, that if we are to be blessed, we want to become people of the book, that it is so, becomes so crucial and the primary focus of our life as we get up in the morning, as we go to sleep, that it's on our mind, on our lips, and it becomes part of our life. All right, well, let's turn to number 176, and we'll sing Break Thou the Bread of Life, number 176.